continuing in our teaching on manifestations of God. Now, we haven't gone into specific details concerning the gifts in our operation. We're going to begin to look at certain gifts in our operation today, but we will eventually back up into and look and talk about the gifts. We've been teaching really is on the areas in 1 Corinthians. We started in 12-13 chapter, and we're going to the 14th chapter today. And we're going to talk about some things here. We're going to look at specific things of ministry. And I want to lay down some foundation as we go to this today. Now, number one, we looked at the fact that starting off the 12th chapter starts off talking about there's different kinds of ministries. There's different ministries. And then it goes on to mention spiritual gifts that operate, and they are for this purpose, ministry. That's what they're for. Is people need to get this. A lot of people want gifts to operate. Gifts are not to make your head big. They're not to make you or publicize you. They're not so people call you and want you to talk. They want God. People want God. That's what they need. They don't need you, per se. You know, it's one of the things, as the Lord told me when I first started the church, the Lord said to me, He said, I want you to teach people so they know me like you do. See, it isn't so they know me. See, people want to always get familiar with somebody they think's in charge or something. They always want to get... It's good to get to know God. That's what it is. You know, I didn't spend my life trying to get to know ministers. I spent my life trying to get to know God. That's what I want to know. That's what's important. He knows everything. I don't. Let's throw that under the bus right away. We don't. We only have the revelation He gives. But we found this out, that these gifts only operate as the Spirit wills, not as we want them to. Because we'll think that God ought to do something. Why didn't He do this? Why didn't He do that? Because He knows more than you do. And He don't tell you everything. He doesn't tell me everything in ministry. I don't know why. You know, I heard Kenneth Hagin say about this. He said, laying hands on people. He said, I lay hands on people. God gave me a ministry of laying on hands. He said, I've laid hands on people. He said, I had a guy drop dead in the healing line one time. He said, didn't bother me a bit. He said, we laid him up on the altar and I laid hands on the rest of the people. See, people are too emotional today and they're all trapped in their emotions. He said, I never healed none of the people anyhow. People say, well, why did he die? I don't know. I don't know everything. You don't know everything. See, people get trapped over and I say, this is one thing. I never look at other people and what they experience is the fact of, well, that's the way it is. I look at what the Word says. How it moves and somebody else gets healed or don't get healed does not move me one bit. It doesn't. You can't do it because you're just going to be a worn out person in the ministry. You're just going to be worn out all the time trying to take care of everything, trying to make everybody see it the way you see it, trying to make everybody. And all it does is wear you out and they get fed up with you. Good preaching, folks. Good preaching. See, you can't do that. We're not God. All we do is what He said to do. We lay hands on the sick. That's what we do. We lay hands on. Is we need to understand that God's desire is for people to be well. Because one of the things we want to do is take people to Word. We don't always know what people believing or what they're doing. I mean, when I was just young, and I was just young as a Christian, but there was a what do they call? There was a prayer, women's prayer organization. Anyhow, they had a prayer group. There was a prayer group, and it was up in Hershey, and they sort of started after the things like they had the Full Gospel Businessmen, and then they came along and started their thing. But anyhow, this woman came to me, was said to me, and I was really thought strange because she talked to me about it. She came, she said, I don't understand. She said, we have a lady in our group. She came down with cancer, and we had prayed and prayed. She'd be healed, and she died. They said, well, they were just sort of devastated. I was a young Christian, but I just came up and I asked her, I said, what did she want? And she said, well, she wanted to go home to be with the Lord. Well, I said, she got her prayer answered. I said, what do you think? You're going to pray night and day and everybody's going to submit to my will if I pray. If I pray enough, everything submits to my will. A lot of times people don't even check when other person's even believing. They just go off and do it. Think, I'm just going to carry this thing. You know, I'm Mr. and Mrs. Faith. Children. Children, that's what it is. Little kids playing around with adult things. Jesus couldn't get everybody healed. He went to Nazareth and could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. Who are you? See, See, we put pressure on ourselves and wear ourselves out. I learned, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. So I learned this, don't take the heavy stuff, it ain't yours. Oh, that's when people love to take the heavy stuff. You know, I want the heavy things, you know, teach them to me. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you ain't smiling, there's something wrong with your spirituality. See, I smile a lot. People don't like that. Not everybody likes that either. I had a woman one time said, I was too happy. Something bad out of has to happen to me. This is a spirit-filled woman because she said, he laughs too much. And I got a good laugh about her. You laugh too much. You got to learn that. I tell you what, I learned to laugh through the bad times. You know, people don't know what's going on in my life, but whether I'm laughing or not. They have no clue. They have no clue. Because you know what? If I'm going through a tough time, I don't wear it on my cuff so you can all see it. I don't bring it to the... You know what I found out? When I'm going through a tough time, find somebody to bless. Find somebody to do something. Hallelujah. Minister the word to somebody. Teach people. Take the word of God. That's the best thing you can do. You'll get over yourself. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. You're just like me. Sometimes you got to get over yourself. Don't we? I mean, we do. Hallelujah. So just smile. God is good. He has not changed. Hallelujah. But we found out, as the Holy Spirit was, we also found out that God's desire was that every believer, every part of the body, that these ministry the gifts would operate, these nine gifts that were listed, the Holy Spirit will operate them through the entire body. That's our need for one another because everybody, God, now these are supernatural gifts. These are not natural gifts. This isn't the talent to do something. This isn't the talent, like people say, use your talent. This is not talking anything about any natural talent using it. Every one of us has natural talents. I have a number of natural talents, but God has not called me to use any of them. I don't use them. You know, I might do stuff at house or work on things and do stuff, but I'm not calling. I'm called by God. The Word tells me the guy who preaches the gospel is supposed to live by it. He ain't supposed to be doing a business on the side. We're supposed to be one-track minds. We don't have that a lot in the ministry today. There's about 10-track minds. People are always doing, ministers are always trying to come up with a business idea, a business deal to make money. God can't take care of me. I'll quit because I'll tell you, I got enough natural talents to make money. It don't take spirituality to make money. Look at the sinners. Got more money than the Christians do. All these people, you know, we live in a fairy tale Christianity. It's a nice little fairy tale place that we live, but we don't look around. This thing ain't about money. Hallelujah. It's about God. I tell you, I'd rather have the anointing of God on me than anything. Anything. Kenneth Hagin, I remember when I was just a baby Christian, Kenneth Hagin, I heard him say this statement. He said, once you get the anointing on me, he said, it's on you, it's like an addiction. He said, you just want it again, and you just want it again. You just want it again. I know what he's talking about. You just want it again. God's addicting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We want to live in that place, don't we? Hallelujah. Get full of something. Anyhow, so what we found out about love, the motivation for this ministry and this gift is to walk in love. Because what we want to bless people, but also we want to benefit from it. We found that people, because Paul talked about, the guy, person that does this, don't walk in love, it doesn't benefit them. You know, we need to know God is desire. God wants to reward people. He wants you to minister. He wants you to bless people, but he wants to reward you too. See, God's good. God is a great reward. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. He's a rewarder. You do His will, it works. And so we look at staying in that motivation of love. And we found out this. We're operating in a world. The last part of the 13th chapter we talked about last week, we're limited on our knowledge. He talks about that. The day's going to come when we ain't going to need any of these gifts. When the church leaves, you ain't going to heaven and there's not going to be any gifts in operation there. There's no need for them. They're in need here, man in his fallen state. Your body's still in a fallen state if you haven't noticed. Have you looked in the mirror lately? That's right. You know. Have you decided? You know, this body's decaying. That's what the scripture says. You know, it's going to die. Your faith ain't going to keep you alive, this physical body alive forever. It ain't going to do it. I care how much faith you think you have. You're going to croak. That's just the way it is. Look, if nobody else made it live forever naturally keeping using their faith here in this realm, what's the chance you're going to be the one? If the people that preach this message couldn't get it to work, you ain't. There's people get off on weird tangents about, well, we could live forever here. Well, good luck. I'll get your casket ready. We'll probably need it tomorrow. Dumb people go quick. We're living in a crazy world. Hallelujah. We're living in insanity. Glory to God. But we need to understand this. I want you to go, because we finished off with this scripture last week on the 13th chapter, verse 13 says, and now abides faith, hope, love. It says these threes, but the greatest of these is love. And we talked about that because I've heard people preach from there and say, see, well, the greatest thing is the love and the rest of that really don't matter. Well, let me tell you, you can't please God without faith. And if you truly walk in love, you're going to be a faith person. And if you don't walk in love, you're going to have trouble with faith. See, and people come along and say, well, I'm just going to, that's the most important. Well, faith and hope, you can't even get faith without hope. Faith's the substance of things hoped for. So you can't even get it. He's talking about three great things. Now, love is the most important. What's the things of love is most important? Because love is eternal. God is love. You know, you get to heaven, you're not going to try to believe God for healing. Ain't nobody going to be. You get the glorified body, you'll never have to believe for healing. You don't have to believe for anything. If you get to heaven and you have a faith problem, you're in the wrong place. Somehow, somebody lets you in and you weren't supposed to be there. Something got messed up. See, we're not going to be trying to do that. This is about here in this earth. See, love's the key, because love is the foundation, it's the motivation of all operations of God, whether faith or whatever it is. So it's important. Now we need to know this, because when we go over to chapter 14, it is a continuation of the same teaching. It hasn't left. Now he's going to begin to talk about operations of certain gifts here, but he opens this up and he says this, that he goes from that love, the importance of love, then he said to this in verse 1, pursue love. And desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now listen to this. Pursue love, he said. And he said desire. Now that word again, desire. That word there, desire, means to burn with desire. It means to pursue ardently or be zealous for. It doesn't mean, well, you know, I just have this nice desire. Should I tell you why a lot of people's faith never works? You know, Mark 11:24 in the King James says, whatever thing you desire when you pray. The average person never really has a strong enough desire for what they want to believe for. They will not go at it like it's the only thing I'm after and that's it. You're going to have to do that's faith. Faith doesn't accept anything else than what it wants. Because if it does, it's a weak faith. See, Jesus said in Mark 11:23, he said, you say this mountain be removed and be cast to the sea, and doubt not in your heart. So you can't be running around with doubts in there. You can't have a little bit of mix of faith. Yeah, I have a desire for it, but if it don't work out, we can do this. That's not faith. That's not faith. I see people many times start off on the right track and it gets working. Something comes along, stumbles up, you know. And here's what the devil a lot of time does. He'll come along and you want something specific over here, and he'll come along and offer you, before that comes, he'll come and offer you something a little less. And you go, yeah, well, I'll take that. That'll be all right. You know, I want the new car, but hey, I can get this used one. I've been believing for a new one, but oh, they gave me a good offer on the used one. There's nothing matters having a used car. Nothing matters buying a used car. I've bought used cars. It's fine. But when you set your faith for something, don't accept. Your desire isn't very strong if it can be moved over to something else. See, people do that. They'll accept something else. They'll accept something less. Now, look, I'm the only guy that ever did it. I know you people are well. I'm definitely preaching the choir. I'll tell you, I just. See, people do that. All the time I see that. Satan always tries to pull it on us. He'll come and something will get offered that's less. Something offered. I could go into a story about that, but I'm only going to go on to this here. But we want to be. Now he says spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now if you look in your Bible, that you will see if it uses the italicized words, you'll see that the word gifts is italicized because the word gifts isn't in the Greek. That was added. It's the same as back as we started off back in the 12th chapter when we opened this thing up. He's talking about spirituality here, not just gifts. See, when people just get stuck on the gift. See, we're stuck on the gift thing. Why? Because some guy translated it and put it in there. And we didn't study to show ourselves approved unto God. We didn't check to see, well, what did it really say? What's it say? See, we study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. If you can rightly divide the truth, you can wrongly divide it. See, it's one. The word, what he's talking about there, spirituality again, being spiritual. Things of the Spirit, knowledge, not just, it's, the ministry and stuff is just more than about gifts operating, just operating under here. See, you need to learn to be led by the Spirit. There's no such thing as gifts and not be led by the Spirit. That was one of the troubles they had in the Pentecostal churches in years past. They knew how to operate in gifts, but when gifts weren't in operation, they didn't know how to believe for themselves faith to be healed. They could only get healed if a gift went into operation. If gifts didn't go into operation, nobody got healed. That's all they knew, is a gift going into operation. They didn't know how to believe God. They weren't taught it. Kenneth Hagin, and I heard others teach about the fact when years ago when God started giving the revelations over in faith, well, these people, they didn't know what on earth they were talking about. You know, they didn't think. They didn't know a thing about baptism of the Holy Spirit, that somebody could receive it by faith. They believed you went to an altar and tarried, and that one day it'd fall on you. And out of God's mercy, it did on people. But there's some people went 30, 40 years. Kenneth Hagin used to minister people, and I can say this personally myself. I've ministered baptism of the Holy Spirit in years past to people that were 20 years or more trying to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And when I talked to them 10 minutes and got them into faith, laid hands on them, and boom, they're talking in tongues. But see, they went around because people weren't taught about faith. They weren't taught about what to do. They only knew one side. They knew the gift side. Now, Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, I learned a lot of things about the Spirit and operation of gifts from them because they knew that. They knew that. And see, he said, our groups, we didn't know as much about that, but we knew about faith. And he said, he was a Baptist pastoring a Baptist church. And he said, we had more healings than the Pentecostals did because he said, I didn't know a thing about operation and gift of the Spirit, but I taught people faith and they were getting healed. And he said, they could only get healings in their church because they're waiting for a gift to go into operation. They didn't know how to do it. Hallelujah. Well, I want to know both sides. I want to be able to know the faith side of it, and I want to be able to cooperate with the gifts too. Because, you know, God ain't stupid. He didn't give the gifts and we don't need them. Because you will need them with people. There's people that ain't going to get a hold of it. And if a gift operates, you want to be able to flow with it. Because if you can't, that's their key to get what they need at the time. And sometimes God moves in that manner just for people and for their aid is to help them. And we want to bless people and do that. I've had gifts operate through me. People didn't understand about faith and things like that. God moved. But see, if you don't go ahead and go with it, they walk out and don't get what God wants for that person. And we want to bless them. So you want to be able to yield to both sides. Hallelujah. We want to walk in the Spirit. So anyhow, we're not geniuses. We don't know everything. We learned about that. Paul said we're looking in a mirror darkly. You know, there's a mirror. We're seeing into it, but it's hard to see things sometimes. I don't know if you know about me. I have a million questions. I read the Bible all the time. You think you know stuff, and I read the Bible, and I get another question. But that's good. I get questions. And I realize, you know, that sometimes my questions aren't even ready to be answered because they can't. There's other things I have to learn before that can be answered. You have to learn that about yourself. There's things you ain't going to get answered to. You got to learn about where you are spiritually. Lots of people come and ask questions that are way over their head, you know. You know, they used to do the thing, this ain't in your grade. You know, this, you need, you know, there's people that can't do general math well and want to talk to you about calculus. That's, there's things like that. And, you know, people get stuck there on those things. I've learned this over time. God teaches, He instructs. Put the Holy Spirit in me as a teacher, and He will, as I go along, He will teach me. He will instruct me and show me things. One thing is I've learned in probably the last 5 years, if people are having today, Christians having trouble getting a hold of the Word and understand it, I get more revelation. I know what to do with. I mean, I think God is pouring things out. God's revealing. And I'm just amazed at what's being seen in the scripture. I go to the word, I think, my God, God's showing himself. He's showing himself to people. And, we need to see it. Be careful what you say about yourself. I'm having a hard time learning. I read and I just don't get it. And I just, well, just keep saying that. You won't get it. You said you won't. Your faith's working good. Your faith is working wonderful. You've been running your mouth, shutting the door, and then saying, God, push that door open, would you please? While you got locked, a sucker. You can't, he couldn't get in there for nothing. Because your mouth every day is keeping that door locked. Hallelujah. God is not hiding from you and me. But we know how to keep him locked out. We Hallelujah. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. What are you saying? Are you talking about more about your problem than your healing? Boy, this is good preaching. It is. Faith, I teach this stuff because of experience. I've experienced it with me. I've experienced it with others. I can tell you a lot of things that work and don't work, and people are trying to do it and make it work. And I can tell you, I know that don't work. Man, 30 years ago, I saw that didn't work. And people, oh, I got this revelation that don't work. And we don't. If you can't get it to work, don't you preach it to nobody else. You ain't got no proof it works. Talk's cheap. Talk's cheap. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, that was good too. Amen. Hallelujah. We're supposed to have this desire. And he says, especially that you may prophesy. Now, some translations go wrong. They take the word prophesy and they put there preach. And that ain't what it's talking about. He's talking about preaching. Understand what we're talking about here. This is why. See, when people divided the Bible up into different kinds, and they made chapter 12 was one subject, chapter 13 was another subject, and this was another one. See, this talking here, prophesy, this is a spiritual gift in operation that operates in the body. He said that the church should especially want prophecy in working. He's going to go on to talk why. The gift of prophecy, this gift, not, you know, just generally preaching. Anybody could preach the gospel, the knowledge they have. They could preach that. Anybody can share that with somebody. It's not what this is talking about. This chapter is not talking about any of that. See, this is why it's in the church world today. We have a great lack of knowledge because, you know, everybody has their study Bible. And their study Bible breaks everything down into categories. And I'm sorry, it's hurt the church. There's nothing about, look, good. I'll tell you what, I have study Bibles, and I don't pay attention to a lot of it, because they break things into categories. When a study Bible stops on a subject, I know to read before and after. I know it. I know it, because I want to know what it is going in it. Because when a change of subject going, it should have say, okay, now we're looking at something different. You can know that. In fact, when we go down through chapter 14, when you go to 15, it's obvious change what Paul's going to begin to talk about. He's going to change the subject now. That's obvious. But see, in our Bibles, we have all these categories and all these chapters of all these things that they list down there. But it all ties together. It's about ministry. It's about ministry. We need to, these are these gifts in operation. He's talking about the gift of prophecy. This is as the Spirit wills. As the Holy Spirit, he said to church. In other words, the Holy Spirit wants to speak things. See, these things are inspired by the Holy Spirit to say. I could sit up here and I could stand in here and read through scripture to you. It's this word of God. It's really good. But what does the Holy Spirit want to say at the time? What does he want to say at this time? This is what it's about. It isn't about what's on your mind or what you've been studying. That's why it ain't got a thing to do with preaching. That's not what it is. Now there's sometimes I find myself teaching or ministering the word, and all of a sudden I can tell what I'm speaking now is coming from the spirit of prophecy. I'm speaking out what the Spirit said. It isn't what I was going to have in my notes or what I was going to do at the time. It'll come out by inspiration, certain things. And I like those because I learn through those things, because sometimes they bring revelation. Things I see that I didn't know before, but it's brought out by the Spirit. That's what this is. This is not about what you know. These gifts are not about what you know. It's what God knows that He wants to reveal to us. Or something we want to find, He's going to just talk about edification. It's about building other people up. It's about building. It's about a ministry. It's about helping the church. That's what it's about. So prophecy. He said, now, if love was important and we didn't need the rest of them, why should we especially want the gift of prophecy to work? You see, when people preach, they need to be very careful, and the church isn't. The church gets sidetracked. The church is, we get sidetracked with our favorite doctrines. And our favorite doctrines, Thursday, because we're going to talk about some things that is going to raise the hair on some people's heads. Because there's things in the scriptures that we avoid completely. We don't like to hear said. Because they don't fit our nice little culture and our nice little Christian thinking. But it's in the Bible. I don't know about, I like things that challenge me. You know one thing it is? When I find something that challenges me, then I have to go to study. I want to know where this is coming from. I want to know. See, most people, what happens when they find here something they don't like? That's their complaint point. That's the thing where they walk for the rest of their Christian life, complaining. They don't study to figure out, what's this thing about? What is it? Why did God say this? Why has God brought this out? Why did He do that? Well, we're going to look at some things. Folks, this is getting good already, isn't it? Hallelujah. But see, I'm going to tell you this. As we look at things, you find out God's in the blessing business. And when we get over in our minds and thinking about, we leave blessing. And the whole time we want blessed. And here the whole time He was trying to get us over to understand these things so we could be blessed. God's not put things into work to give us a hard time. It's to, He wants you delivered more than you do. So the Lord told me, the Lord spoke to me when I was a young Christian. He said, I want my people healed a lot more than they do. So He said to me, I want them healed a lot more than they do. See, I'm not trying to talk God into healing me. That was settled 2,000 years ago in Jesus Christ. And Jesus had already, and God had already planned that before the foundation of the world. That they wanted me well. They want you well. Hallelujah. See, this is not a fuss over God. God will lead you right to what you want if you pay attention. I know sometimes I've taken some long routes to some things. I'll tell you what, I went to Florida already by Canada. You know, I've done it. I traveled to Alaska and got it seems like I think I went to China. I went to California. I headed east. And I'm just like, oh my God. And when I finally arrived, there's things that I've literally had this, and I've said to the Lord after I got to Revelation, I said, Lord, You've been trying to show me this to me for so long. I can see. Oh, my words, I ain't been paying attention. You've been trying to show this to me. Oh. If you've never had that, you never sought God. We all have that. Hallelujah. That's when the trying of your faith worketh patience. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, anyhow. So He said concerning this prophecy, especially these gifts. Now think about it. He's talking about, now this is ministry in the church. He's talking about ministry in the church and this prophecy gift. He said, especially this one here in the church. Now He's going to say some other things that we need to hear here in this. In verse 2, He says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now I want you to understand this again. Whether it is tongues by the gift or our tongue, we need to know because we want to deal with two things here. The main thing that He's dealing with is here is the ministry gift of tongues. That this is not talking about the tongues that you got baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's not the tongues. He's not talking about that. That tongues He's going to deal with later on and talk about your prayer life praying in tongues. But here He's getting over to the ministry gift. In other words, tongues. When I speak out in tongues, I'm not speaking to men, I'm speaking to God. The interpretation is what was spoken. That was for men, that wasn't, the speaking of the tongues wasn't for men, that was for God. It's speaking to God. God the Holy Spirit had spoken out. Now He said, now listen what He says. He said, no one understands it. He says, howbeit in the Spirit, He's speaking mysteries. We're speaking mysteries. In other words, operating in the ministry. See, there is the ministry gift of tongues. That's for ministering to people. That's not your regular tongues. Lots of times. There's sometimes I've spoken in tongues already. It came out. I don't know how fluent you folks are in tongues, but I have different tongues that I talk in. I talk in when I'm operating and speaking in tongues under the ministry gift to minister in tongues interpretation. I usually don't speak in my regular tongues language that I speak in my regular prayer life. You see why? Well, if this is the gift of tongues in operation, the Holy Spirit has to give, it wouldn't come out the same way. See, people don't understand it. Well, nobody teaches this stuff. People don't know about it because nobody teaches it. We have jumbled everything. We put everything in the bag and shook it all up and said, well, see, mixed it together so we think it's together. It's not. This is a gift. This doesn't operate. I can speak in tongues anytime I want. But that doesn't mean that that needs to be interpreted. In my own prayer life, sometimes I pray in tongues and sometimes I pray in tongues. I know while I'm praying what I'm praying about. I just know. It's coming out in tongues. Sometimes I'll pray and I won't know, but I'll go into interpretation and I'll start praying out in an interpretation of what I was praying in tongues. See, it's getting over in that area. That's why you want to learn the flow of these gifts, because these gifts can actually work in your own life. I've interpreted a lot of times. The spirit of prophecy. I've had many times that I pray under the anointing of the spirit of prophecy. I'll start to pray and all of a sudden the anointing comes on me and I start to pray out of the spirit of prophecy. I pray. It amazes me. Sometimes I'll have scriptures come out of me and I think, I wonder, is that even in the Bible? When you're done praying, I got to go look and find out because I don't remember that one. But this Holy Spirit's working this thing and you're praying things out. It's not out of your mind and what you know. It's not your intellect. It's not because you went to school and you learned to read and you're smart. That isn't how it operates. And I've had that already where things come out of my mouth concerning Scripture and I thought, man, where did that one come from? And I think, my God, I didn't even know that Scripture was tied to what I just prayed, but it is. I can see that. So you get over that. See, these are supernatural gifts. This is supernatural things that happen. And see, this is one of the things is when I was a kid, I didn't have very little interest in a lot of things in the church because the church had nothing supernatural to offer. All they had is wear the right clothes, do the right stuff, do this stuff, buy the right car, you know, don't be too flashy, don't be this. That's all they had. They didn't have anything else. That's all they had. And you never knew what God was going to do. And when somebody died, God took them. You know, and the good die young and all that stuff. And it was all craziness. We had all that stuff. But nothing, there wasn't supernatural. And if something supernatural happened, man, they threw the red flags up. You know, they didn't know if it was God or the devil or what. And you'd always get the people, well, you know, the devil heals. Yeah, I know. The devil's always holding healing services and people are running to them all the time. Yes, I tell you, he's just, you know. Because things are crazy out here. And see, when God wants to, and God will move. Because why? He's good. That's just the way He is. He's good. We want to learn to cooperate with Him. But we need to know we're talking about spiritual gifts here. He says, in verse 3, he says, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Now, the general operation of the gift of prophecy, when it goes into operation, through the average believer is going to be these qualities right here. This is what's going to be in it. This is dealing with them. This is why it's important we understand this. The average person, it's going to be for edification. It's to exhort or to comfort. That's what it's going to be. That's going to be the basis of it. We're going to find out as we go on to study in here, because he talks about the prophet there. Now the prophet prophesies, but he prophesies under a completely different anointing. That gift operates through him differently because of the prophetic office he stands in. And we're going to talk about, he'll talk about that later. You need to understand this. You know, prophecy, the general operation of the gift of prophecy through believers is not predicting anything. We've made it prediction. Even among the prophet, we hold the prophet. You know, it's really interesting. Jesus said John the Baptist was the foremost prophet that ever lived up to his time. He said the foremost. He never predicted a thing. We never saw one miracle. The only thing he knew is who he said, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That was his thing. See, we today we have so much exaggerated prophets operating in the flesh. Number one, a prophet will do is preach or teach the word. That is the foremost of their ministry. That is the foremost of the ministry, is to preach and teach the word. Why? Because, see, a person in a prophet's ministry preaches and teaches under a different anointing than a pastor or a regular teacher does. When that gift's in operation, he teaches under the prophetic anointing, which is a different anointing. See, there's some people, like, they pick their favorite teachers. Like, they like to listen to things. Like, I always love to listen to Kenneth Hagin. But Kenneth Hagin wasn't as much as a line upon line teacher. There's line upon line teachers I listen to, and they could take a subject that he taught under the prophet's anointing, and he would give more of a general idea of things, but a teacher would turn around and dissect that thing and take it and line upon line, just lay it out to you to teach it to you. But see, people like it's a prophet. He wants a prophet. But there's a lot of stuff you ain't going to learn through the prophet. That's why there's more than one gift. But people just follow after one. That becomes their favorite thing that ever happened. And there's a lot they never learn. So you need to learn to listen. There's other people teaching. And especially, I've always enjoyed line upon line teachers. I like them. I have a book that I got from a pastor who's in our ministerial group. He worked with NASA and all that stuff and space shuttle things, and his job was to make sure everything on that space shuttle ran right. It was one of his jobs of the shuttle itself. Not with the engines and that kind of, but he had the shuttle, and his big thing was that shuttle. And he's a real intricate guy. Well, he's pastor now, and he puts teachings together. I'll tell you what, he could take what somebody gets up and says in 2 minutes, and he can talk about it for 2 weeks. He could put it together. I got a book of his and also a thing online. It's on healing. It's all the healing scriptures in the Bible. It's about this thick and about that big. And he takes them through, I forget how many, like 30 some different translations and stuff and things and his notations and stuff. And then he also put it out and I bought that book, and he also put it out digitally online. So I have that. But I mean, you could sit there and just study healing to just going scriptures and scriptures and scriptures and scriptures and going over stuff and things. But see, that's it. He's a line upon line. He will take something, he'll dissect it and that stuff. And if you want to know it in its intricacies, well, that's the guy to see. He knows about it. And you need those people. You need those people in that kind of teaching. That's not liked in a church. We want the 20-minute sermon where you get in and out and you find out enough for the devil to kill you. That's what you do. And you go, people don't learn nothing. You know, the world has more sense than Christians have. You ain't going to learn that stuff overnight. It's going to take you a long time. You're going to have to study. I can study all I want, but if you don't, you ain't going to, you'll never get half of what I'm doing. It'll never come to, it just don't fall on you because I say it. You know, I found this out. When I learned this early. I used to listen to Kenneth Hagin. I used to think, my God, I want to get where he's at. And I found this out. I was going to have to do what he did to get where he's at. And boy, he studied and studied. You got to find things out. Another thing, you got to be led by the Spirit. There's no such thing as studying and not being led by the Spirit. If you can't be led by the Spirit of God, you're going to have a terrible time in study, because you're going to follow your own mind in study. Oh yeah. We've all done that. Yeah. Sit down and study it out of our own minds. It's a place I try to stay away from. No telling what's up there. Wait till we renew that spot, then we'll go there. There's things up in there that are weird. Hallelujah. But God will renew them. See, you get in the Word, God will bring light, change things in an area you struggled at to change all your life. And in an instant, when a revelation comes, all of a sudden you know exactly what to do. Struggled with something, and all of a sudden, bang, the light came on. It's like, wow, changed everything. Changed everything. Hallelujah. Getting the light into you. Well, it says, now he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Well, if we would go over, the scripture says we build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So there is, he's talking about that here. There's an edification that we get through speaking in tongues for ourselves. This is our personal. But it said, he who prophesies edifies the church. Now he goes on in verse 5 and said, I wish that all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. See, tongues and interpretation are on the same level as prophecy, but you have to have interpretation. You must have interpretation. And so we need to understand that these gifts desire, God wants them to operate in church. Here's one thing that's coming down to spirituality. See, any believer could speak out in tongues, that is filled with the Holy Ghost, could speak out in tongues. But knowing the anointing and knowing your own unction. See, I can do by my own unction. You can even get yourself where you're really fired up and you just want to speak out in tongues. You can do that. There's sometimes that I get fired up on stuff and I'll start talking tongues because I don't know what to say in English. I'll start talking in tongues because I don't know why. I want to say something. I think I've said this already. Some things I can say better in tongues than I can in English. I just So, hallelujah. So your spirit wants to pray. So there must be. So he's talking to these people about these gifts. Now, we're talking about here about three different gifts. He's talking about the gift of tongues and gift of interpretation and the gift of prophecy. He's not talking about generally speaking. These are gifts. See, we need to know. Now, number one is we're going to find as we go on here, the operation of these gifts is very important from this standpoint that we understand everything operates in decency and order. You know, over the years, I've seen a lot of crazy things. You don't see them much anymore operating in the churches because most Christians don't operate in gifts. So you don't see it much. But when people were excited about this stuff, and I was in meetings and ready and even in church services where in the middle of all the ministers preaching, all somebody just jump up and give a tongue or do something. You know, they just do that kind of stuff. And they think it was people say, well, you know, I just couldn't help it. God made me do that. Well, man, well, you know, it's like Brother Hagin said, well, if God can make you do that, why don't he make you tithe? Well, it always, but no, we have control. We decide God, anything that is forcing you to do something, ain't God. God will, the Holy Spirit will never force you to do anything. I was glad I learned that early. Kenneth Hagin used to make a statement and I heard it from others. He said, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He ain't going to force you in. What you don't want to do, what you have no interest in doing, he's not going to make you do. We yield to the Holy Spirit. God does not force anybody to do things. People say, well, God made me do this. Oh, he didn't make you do things. God might. You might have had situations in your life made you do some other things. Because of your disobedience, but it wasn't God. God won't force you. He can't do that. God gave you a will, and that will is yours. You answer to your will. God don't force you or make man. You know, there's a day that Jesus Christ is going to come and force man. When he comes back, he says he's going to rule the earth with a rod of iron. Then men are going to do what he says. My will's over. But while we're in this age and in this time, it's our will. We're operating into this age and time, and God's given opportunity to men, and men determine their destination and destiny by what they do in this life with their will. With our will. This is determined by us. But we're operating concerning these gifts. So prophecy is good. Tongues and interpretation are also good. We shouldn't have tongues speaking out into church. It's different. We sit here because when he's going to go on to explain about the operation in these things. We'll go on to that, about doing things in church, what we do, how to conduct ourselves. This is number one. We want to edify people. We don't want to bring confusion. It's like years ago when I saw people would jump up and say something, it would just bring confusion to the church. Everything would come and stop and everything, you know, even other manifestations, you know, sometimes people demonic manifestations, demonic things happen. Oh yeah, I worked in Kenneth Hagin's meetings out in Tulsa, especially a camp meeting and that stuff, because you get people would come in from all over the place. You wouldn't believe the demonic activity that would take off among Christians, yielded to wrong spirits. The demonic things you'd see go on, blow your little mind. Because see, Christians can yield to spirits. They don't mean they're possessed by a spirit, but they can yield to wrong things. People can do things to try, sometimes has nothing to do with the spirit, it's themselves. They want to get noticed. People do that. I saw a woman one time lay on the floor, thrash around and doing all this kind of stuff and doing this thing. And I was at this big name minister's meetings and his people there trying to cast the devil out of her. The whole time I was standing there, I'm thinking, this ain't the devil. You just one thing is, from the time I was a young Christian, I guess because of dealing with demonic spirits, because I was involved in sorcery, God dealt with me about demons. And if there was a demon involved in something, if I had a need to know, he always showed me. See, sometimes people have what is called the discerning of spirits, which means the discerner see. They see into the spirit realm, they see with the demonic being that's operating. Or lots of times with me, I have seen already in the spirit, but majority of the time, I just know by word of knowledge comes to me, you're dealing with a demonic power. I just know I'm dealing with demonic power. So, and I've had to, and this woman's over there, and I'm standing there thinking about this. Now, I'd only been a Christian about 3 years. But I'm standing there, these people are rushing around trying to deal with this woman. I'm thinking, it's coming to me, this is not demonic. This is her. You see, ministry for most people is moved by sight. You know, a lot of people, when need healing, you shouldn't even be praying for their healing. There's things need to be fixed so they can be healed. And if they don't get fixed, they ain't ever getting healed, and you can pray till Jesus comes and you'll get nowhere. This is why you gotta be led by the Spirit in ministry. You don't be moved by what you see happening. You don't get moved because you see somebody's doing, has this problem or that. Well, that's what we got to just take. Well, how many times have you gone and helped a person in a problem and they just ended up right back in another problem? They just go from one to the next. How many times? Why? Because we are not spiritual. We deal with people by what we see. There's people you help financially and you'll help them financially for the rest of their life. They ain't ever going to get fixed. They ain't ever going to get right. And if you keep helping them, there's a good chance they never will. You need to know that. Listen to your spirit. Because see, the Holy Spirit has the answers. It's not just what's happening. He wants us to deal with cause. The cause. See, Jesus went to the cross and died for the cause of sin. All they did back in the Old Testament is they dealt with what was called the problems that sin brought. But never the cause was ever dealt with. Jesus Christ, they couldn't deal with the cause. Jesus came and see, we're the church. We're the ones to deal with the causes in the earth. We're the ones to deal with that. See, what we ministry to us is like I set ministers, these conventions and stuff. And even they say, if you see a need, meet it. And I said, my God, the devil will run the church. He's the need maker. You follow needs, you're led by the devil. Because he'll keep deeds, he'll keep stuff in your face so you never deal with a problem. You'll never deal with the cause. He'll keep stuff in your face wherever, because they're need, and just need. Oh, there's so many needs out there. There's so many. I'm not called to minister to everybody's need. You don't come to this church. My job ain't to chase you. That's what churches are today. Let's go chase them. Because there's needs. There's needs. And you know what? Next year, there's twice as many needs. And then it gets done, the whole town needs, and there ain't enough to take care of. Why? Because causes are never fixed. That's why we don't have manifestations of the Spirit. The manifestations of the Spirit are to fix causes. I know I won't get on TV with some of these guys with this. They won't, you know. Because they make a lot of money preaching. Meet the need. People feel good about it. I send money. I don't help a bit. I just send a check. And that just takes care of it. And I just keep living my carnal life. Oh my God, where does this guy get this stuff? Anyhow. Becoming spiritual. Hallelujah. Hey folks, I'm not telling you anything I don't deal with. We all deal with. It's the easiest thing to get moved by need. The easiest thing in the world. It's the easiest. And the people you're the closest to are the one you're going to probably be the worst at ever ministering to because you're so emotional in their need. Amen. It is. It's true. Get over it. Amen. I find many times parents are terrible at meeting the real true needs of a child. and their kids. They're too emotionally involved. They don't see their child. Other people walk around and see what's going on, but they can't. We all do that. But you know what? We hate to think of ourselves as I'm loving. Everybody's like that. How many people do you ever find they're as strict with their child as they want to be with the other guy's kid? How bad do you think the other person's kid is? So it's never. The other people got the scoundrel. Mine are cute, and the other people looking over, boy, I'm glad they got their scoundrel. Folks, smile. My God. Get over yourselves. We do it. This is life. The more you lie, the less you're going to get God to move. The more you lie about yourself, the less God moves. I'll tell God I'm a maniac. My word. I miss it. I blow it at times. But I'm totally confident in Him. I'm not always confident about Ed. You can't be. He'll do weird things. And then he has to repent. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're supposed to really go after this, these gift things. In other words, God has in the church. This emphasis here, I think we should have in the church world, and this is one thing they're not allowing today, is one thing about it. The church today wants manifestations of healings. We want miracles. We want those. But we don't like the tongue thing. And you know what? I've watched it. See, I've watched it. I know among Rhema people. See, loads of Rhema churches. Tongues are a thing that, you know, people don't understand it, and it's confusing to people, and blah, blah, blah. They go through this whole 9 yards. We don't want that gift. We're going to pick and choose the gifts. I'm going to tell you what. If you don't like the least gifts, forget the rest of them. You forget the rest of them. In the church world. See, it's today you don't see. I remember back in the 80s when I came to the kingdom. My God, you'd even have tongues interpretation on television on ministries. Today, you would never hear those same ministries ever do such a thing. Uh-uh. The Holy Ghost he stays in the green room. And he's only allowed out after service. When the cameras turn off, you can come out now. Man, I'll tell you, this is a strange anointing today. I'll tell you, it's fun. But see, isn't it interesting that the Apostle Paul brings to these ones here of what's important in the church, the edification of the church. These things. God wants to talk to people. See, prophecy, tongues, God wants to say some things. The church says, God, shut up and just heal me. Shut up and do a miracle. Don't preach so long. Don't talk so long. Don't do that. Go sit down, God. Just send the gifts. Send Rudolph with the rest of the reindeer in a sleigh and throw the gifts down here. Get back to the North Pole. Till next year. God wants to talk. Isn't it amazing? All the ministry gifts He gave were talkers. Seems He has stuff to say. And people say, I can't hear from God. Oh, I guess you can't. Most people don't want to. See, I want to talk to God. I want somebody to tell me all the time I'm cute, I'm sweet, and I ain't nothing wrong with me. Well, I'm sorry with you. You're lost as a goose in a snowstorm, man. You ain't got a chance. See, God wants to speak to us. He wants to talk to us, tell us what's true, what's right. Why? He wants to bless our lives. He didn't bless us with every spiritual blessing, but yet He wants to hold them back. There's things that cause blessings not to come. There's times I found out, you know, certain things I had to learn. There's certain things I wanted to step into and wasn't able to go there. Just in the areas of learning, in my own ministry gift is learning how to yield to the Holy Spirit in the areas of teaching. And when He told me to, I was supposed to go over and start to yield more in the area of ministering by inspiration, because I was just a line upon line teacher. That's what I did. It's just, I'd get up there with my notes and I was just secure. I didn't have my notes, had everything laid out ahead of time. And boy, when he told me to start to do that, that was like, you know, man, I'd get up and I'd think, all of a sudden I'd get a sense to go away and I'd think, I ain't got no notes or scriptures on that. And I'd start pulling back to the notes and scriptures and the anointing would lift. And now it's just me talking. So you can stand up there and talk and you can say all kind of things from the Bible without an anointing. People, ministers do it all the time. People got so used to it, they think that's a preaching it. Oh, okay, I'll quit there. We'll go on to this. We're going to talk, we'll just say a few things here, because Apostle Paul talking, because the importance of these gifts, God wants to say that he wants to edify, he wants to build up the church. That's what this is about. The success of the church, the success of the church is the strength of the church. If the church is not strong, there's not going to be any success. Christians today are very weak spiritually. People are very weak. People are struggling, trying to get from here to there. I mean, to me, sometimes I have a hard time identifying when people have gone on for years and years and they're just always struggling about Christianity. I mean, you got to come to the place where you're just secure in your salvation. You got to come to that place. You know, a lot of people see dealing in that. They've never come down to a security of where they are. They don't know God well enough to know if I mess up. You know, they can't get over the things. They never pass emotionally by. They say, yeah, God forgives me, but. See, and they're dealing with their own emotional problems and they're dealing with them. And you get over in that area, I thank God I learned early how to be led by the Spirit of God. It's like the Lord told me in February, I was born again in January in 1980. In February, the Lord said to me, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. And I found out that's people's problem. God is the only place they come in contact with God is words on a page. Oh, God's in me. The Bible's in me. The Word of God lives inside of me. I get a chance to read it from a brain standpoint, but God, the Word's inside of me. Everything I could ever want to know about God is already inside of me. It's every place I go, it's with me, it's in me. Every place that's in there, the Holy Spirit, number one, the Holy Spirit is going to do this for you all the time. He's going to take what belongs to Jesus and reveal it to you. That's why you should never say, God don't show me that. I don't understand. God don't talk to me. I understand God. Saying that stuff, you're cursing God. You're saying, God, your word's not true. Holy Spirit don't do that for me. You just don't understand where I'm at. That's right, I don't understand. I don't understand when people tell me they believe the Bible and that's the last thing they believe. They didn't know what it says. I believe the Bible. I believe it's true. I don't care how I feel. I don't care how it goes. I don't care. I can go along and things can be going down for me. I don't care. The Word is true and God is doing what He says, whether it seems like it's working for me or not, and I will not speak anything different because I will get an answer and the person who speaks different will not get an answer. And I don't care how they go, Tom, you can go to all the ministries you want to get answers and you might have the answer said to you 1,000 times and you will never hear it till you get your mouth in order. Think about Jesus. He goes to Nazareth, preaches the same thing he did in other places and has miracles. Did they get it? Did he become a bad teacher that day? Woo! This is good preaching, folks. So get your mouth in order about God, what he'll do for you. Yeah, you guys remember McLean, or Southern preacher there from down in Arkansas, Rod McLean. Yeah. Well, Rod used to say this when he'd preach. He'd always say, I'm God's favorite kid. You know, God treated him good. See, some people who know, many Christians don't even know if God really likes them. I gotta go with Rod. I'm God's favorite kid. Hallelujah. He can have all the favorite kids he wants.
See, many people, they're God's favorite kid, but they don't even know it. They're still talking like, you know, because Billy Graham was. I understand this. A lot of stuff I know about the Bible, Billy Graham never knew. Thank God for all he did. I appreciate. He knew how to get people saved. But after that, he said this. He said this himself. His own words. Many of the people that come and accept Jesus at my meetings never follow him. See, there's something other than salvation. There's something more. Hallelujah. And you got to tell them when you preach that to them. You can't tell, Jesus loves you and he'll save you. And then he saves you. Good luck. Jesus said the guy that didn't know is better off than the guy that knew and didn't follow. We need to tell people. I tell people this. If you're not going to follow Jesus, don't bother coming. Don't bother coming. Because life ain't getting no better. Might get worse. You become the target of the devil. This is about a commitment to Christ. We know all about God's commitment to me, but what about mine? I'm committed to this thing. Number one, I ain't got enough sense. Don't know no better. I don't know what else to turn to. I'm stuck with this thing. I got to go after God. I don't have anything else. See, other people have plan Bs. They got things they can go to. I don't got anything else to go to. I don't have nothing else. All I got's God. I'm just going to have to stay with it. I gave up the other stuff a long time ago and have another place to go. In verse 6 of that chapter 14 says, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking, he said, with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, prophesying, or by teaching? In other words, if I come and talk in tongues to you, unless, in other words, in the church world, we're dealing with the areas of revelation. Now, revelation can come through prophecy, can a revelation come, but also revelation, people teach and minister by revelation also. By the anointing. In other words, all these things deal with the anointing. In other words, this is ministered to people by knowledge. Because you can teach by the knowledge that you have. You can minister to people by that. Also, prophesying. He tells you, prophesying is one way to minister to people. Also, he says, teaching here specifically. Somebody who's under a teaching anointing, they can teach people. And see, you have those. It doesn't do any good to speak in tongues if there's no interpretation because it doesn't bring anything to it. All it is so he goes on to say verse 7, even things without life, whether flute or harp, he said, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? You know, do you ever see somebody or like don't know how to play a piano, kids, and they go, ding, ding, ding. Isn't that wonderful to listen to? You just want to have that all day in your house going, don't you want to have that? That's some Christians. That's what's living with some Christians. It's like that. It's somebody beating on a piano. Okay, Lord, let's go. Okay. Said, if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle? See, in those days they used a trumpet. Also, it used my grandson, Braden. He's involved in this, some of these Civil War things. Because they used the drums also in their battles. During the battle, the drummers would drum certain things, and men and it would know then what maneuvers to make or what to do by what was being played on the drum. So they knew those things. And this is what he's talking about. Something with distinction. He's talking about, he said about tongues. If you come and speak it in tongues, this thing isn't revelation, is it? What good is this thing? He goes on to say, he said, so likewise, unless the utter But you utter by the tongue words easy to understand. How will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. In other words, you're blowing wind. See, we're not doing that. That's not what we're doing. They had in church, in other words, in dealing with this. Then he goes on, there are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, he said, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him and who speaks, and he speaks, who speaks, will be a foreigner to me. He said, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, he said, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Now again, they use the word and they throw gifts there when it's talking about spirituality, understand this. If you're not spiritual, forget the spiritual gift thing. It's going to be a mess. It's not talking about gifts. He's talking about people being spiritual. Gifts will operate through spiritual people. See, when I was involved over in sorcery and dealing with that stuff, the people who were hooked up over in those areas, demonic spirits would operate through. Ones who just were like many Christians are, they're just surface Christians. They liked all the trimmings around sorcery and stuff and things, but they really weren't into it. They weren't. That's why many Christians, they're not really into it. They're not. They talk about miracles. They have this. Oh, yeah, we can get money. We give money. This is all sounds cool. But they don't take the time to learn a darn thing. They ain't learning nothing. They love the trappings around it, but they never become people of faith and walk in faith with God. They never become that. See, that's where the manifestation. They are spiritual gifts and they operate. They're not physical gifts. They're not physical gifts. They're spiritual. And they operate out of your spirit. And you have to know when the spirit's moving or when it's not. Now, there's times that I have had the anointing come on me very strong to do something. But, most of the time anymore. Now, that was in teaching. A lot of that God would teach me about how an anointing operated through that. But today, He doesn't do that to me. He'll give me an unction to do something, and I'll do it. And when I do what He said, He gave me an unction. He hadn't talked or said. I just get a sense in me to do something. I just get a sense. And I'll go step out and do that. Then the anointing comes. But it don't come till after I step out and listen to that on the inside what to do. See, most people want it this way. Well, if God wants to use me, He can. He just come on. Have you been listening on the inside what He's giving you an unction to do? Many times I've heard people say this. They say, I had a sense to do such and such. But I had a sense. But they didn't follow it. You know what? People think you're going to make a mistake. Get over yourself. You will. Yeah, sometimes you make a mistake. You know, big deal. It's just like a child. A child gets up and walks and falls down. You know, gets up and has enough sense to get up and walk again. You know, I've seen children on skin, their knees terrible outside on the, but you know what? They don't quit going outside and playing. Adults do. Adults lock themselves in the house. Christians lock themselves away. They missed it. Poor old me. I don't know. I just missed it. We ain't going out no more. The most wonderful things that I found out about it was I was shocked at how many times I hit it. It amazed me because I thought, taking shots at this thing, and I've gotten better at it now. I've become more patient from the standpoint of waiting till I know that's God moving in me and not just jump up and do something so quick. We need to differentiate between my emotional feeling on something and what's actually going inside of my spirit. Sometimes that takes time. But see, that's not what we're geared for. We're geared to move for the emotion. But we've geared ourselves that way. We've been taught that way. Our parents have been that way. And they taught us that way. And so it's something totally different. And I hate to think of the fact of this, but Lord has been brought to me over the last few months about getting over into the areas when I was in how much when I was over in the areas of dealing in sorcery, really in some ways helped me understand things about the spirit because of what the churches don't teach about the spirit realm. But they would talk about the spirit realm. But the church won't. Because see, the church thinks this is kind of fantasy, woo-woo stuff. They think they don't understand the realm of the spirit. This realm of the spirit doesn't work like the natural realm. What seems reasonable over here sometimes don't just make no sense at all. What was God with children of Israel going through all that stuff in the land of Egypt to get them out? He goes over there and he sends this guy up here, Moses, and the first miracles he did happened to them too. The bad stuff happened to them. See, this don't make no sense. Why would God do this? God leaves out, he gets them out, Pharaoh, he finally gets them out after all these miracles. He gets them out there, takes them down the Red Sea, and lets the Egyptian army catch up to him. what'd they do? They did what Christians do today. They complained about God. Why'd you do this to me? How come you let this happen to me? I'm such a nice person. And see, what happened, we had parents lots of time didn't teach us nothing. Every little thing that happened to us there, oh, they're picking, oh, you poor little thing. You just is. There's a lot, I think, that they didn't allow God to work things out in their lives. Oh, we're trusting the Lord. I tell you what. You see, God, first thing he does, he takes them across the Red Sea and no water for 3 days. When's the last time you didn't have a drink for 3 days? Oh. Should I change the subject? But you see what I'm talking about? We don't realize God is setting things in motion. God wants to bring glory. And these people don't get it. Every time he brings glory, their complaints are louder than the glory. Till after a while, he don't bring glory no more. He sends them in the wilderness to die. Don't think it don't happen today. See, people don't get these things. It's about being spiritual, listening in your spirit, listening to the inner man. The church is the most glorious thing that has ever been on this face of this earth since Jesus Christ. God lives in us. God's incarnated in us. God lives in us. God's in a human body. God's in my human body today. God lives in my human body today. And he's blind, deaf, and dumb. God, don't talk to me. No, you won't talk to him. That's what the problem is. He ain't interested in all your problems, what you're talking. He'd like a few words of faith out of your mouth, of trust in him. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for us. He wants to move. Faith is what pleases him. Hallelujah. Faith pleases him. There's a meaning to language. It says, so if you're zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Being spiritual, spirituality is required. Gifts will operate. But spirituality is required. Because, see, this whole thing started off back in the beginning. We read, they took that word gift and stuck it at the end there. And he was talking about being spiritual. In other words, it's not enough for me to just understand gifts working me. I have to know how gifts work through other people. Do you know, lots of times people listen to a minister preach, they never learn how his gifts works. There's this funny scripture in the New Testament, know no man after the flesh. Yet most people never know anybody any other way. They're more interested in what the guy has and what he don't have and what he... They don't understand the gift. See, I learned about this as if I was going to be successful in getting revelation and be able to speak revelation from God, I was going to have to know God. And then I'm going to have to know me. I have to know my gift. I know the bounds of my gift and where it operates and where it don't. My gift don't operate in everybody and everything. I'm not a pastor to everybody. I'm a pastor of the people who come here. Ain't my sheep don't come here. My sheep are here. I'm not a shepherd to everybody out here. You'll go eating somebody else's grass out here and go and follow somebody else and come over here. Folks, this is why, Kenneth Hagin, the Lord told him. He told him, he said, you don't counsel people outside your flock. He said, you tell them. He said, if people don't have a pastor, he said, you tell them this, that's their problem. See, everybody's supposed to be under some. We don't like that being under authority. See, in America, we're rebels. You know, they weren't just some folks down south. The rebels live up north, too. We're rebels. We got this freedom thing and have perverted it to the place of rebellion against authority all the time. And we got a government we deserve, every bit of it. And the church deserves it because one of the most rebellious people are the church. Rebels don't submit to authority. If I don't like what somebody does, I just go do what I want. Because I'm more spiritual, I know, and I just go. See, we don't know about that thing written in Romans there where, you know, about your government. If you don't obey the government, you don't obey God. We just think that's our actual government. There's people who have authority over people in the church. People don't care. They're going to do what they want because I'm an American. I'm free. I have the right to make my own vote. Jesus never gave you the right to vote. He gave you the ability to live without sin. It has nothing to do. These people that use this bit, well, we have our God-given rights to this nation to vote. What? People in other nations that don't have that right, they're not godly? American Christianity got head this big. They couldn't make a hat to fit it nowhere. We're so special. And what we have, we're disobedient to authority. Run the authorities and say, we're pray for your government. No, we'd rather complain about them. We'd rather curse Biden. It's just easier to curse because of what we see. Oh, my word, you think I ought to quit? See, when you touch into these things, people don't like to hear. This is stuff, it's hard to hear about ourselves. And people don't send money to people when they don't like what they hear. So the preachers ain't going to preach it. They ain't going to there's too many ain't going to preach the truth. I know ministers have told me they know things are true, but they'll never talk about it. They're not going to tell people truth. Why? Well, they know it's going to happen. They're Americans. They'll run off. They'll go to the guy that tells them. The scripture says they'll have itching ears, drawing preachers to themselves. They'll control the preacher and what he preaches. You either preach what I want to hear, or I'm going. You ain't left yet. I'm going to be like Jesus. You ain't gone yet? You're not going to go? I ain't nervous. God has to take care of me, not you. My faith is about Him taking care of me. I don't look to people to take care of me. But people are so insecure today. And the insecurity is terrible. We want to grow up. People want to be spiritual. People want to be these things without spiritual teaching. Paul said, if God corrects you, it's because He loves you. This I know. God loves me more than most Christians because they don't seem to ever get corrected. He sure works on it. I don't know about you. I live with this guy. And we're all, but you live under that thing. And I don't look at corrections bad. See, we don't. You know, it's just like anything. Why do we take things so personal? If I'm doing something and it's not right, somebody, you know, says something about, what is it? Why do we get so touchy about these things? What is wrong with us? What the love of God was supposed to be. We say, oh my God, I'm glad I found out. Now I can do what's right. No, not us. Did you hear what they said to me? You just can't believe what they did to me. And she said, well, were they right? That's not the point. That's what they did. They didn't say it nice to me. Oh, is this fun? Okay, I'll quit. No. See, folks, we all deal with it. This is called flesh I'm talking about here. Is anybody here, you don't have it? Is anybody here, you don't somehow have to just bite your lip and say, oh, I want to say something. Oh, my word. Your lips bleed a lot. You thought they were chapped, but they're not. It's from you biting them, trying to hold your mouth shut. See, this is the place we live. Just think about our inadequacies and all the things. God hasn't quit on us, has He? He is the most remarkable thing. I'd have quit on me a long time ago, and you probably before that. But anyhow, just think about God. Does He stop not trying to bring revelation? No, He don't quit. He just keeps reaching out to us. I want to bless people. See, God's a blesser. He's not a curser. The devil's a curser. God ain't killing people. He's a life giver. God's reaching out to people. No matter how nutty we get, He's trying to find a way. And I learned this. It is amazing how God will reach to try to find some way to bring a blessing into a situation. It seems like Christians are just trying to curse. But He finds a way. He's looking. He'll try His best to bring blessing. He's always looking for a way to bring blessing. And you need to get that in your mind. No matter how nutty you get or how whatever you do in that, He's out to help you. If he corrects us, it's out to help us. He ain't against me. If correction was a thing to kill you, I'd have been dead years ago. It wasn't for that. Correction. Because I have things in life that I'm shooting for and things I want to get to. He wants to get me there. He wants to take me there. And he's doing everything he can. I realize this. I can't get to where I want to go just knowing general math spiritually. And I'm going to tell you what. The more you have to learn, the harder it gets. Because it goes further outside of the flesh. Oh, and when your flesh dominates you, it gets hard to go there. Do you ever think about people who go on and just naturally learning, and they go and they shoot for higher education? It doesn't get easier as you get out there. It gets harder to do. And harder to do. And that's why people quit today. Nobody, we're taught in our society, you aren't supposed to suffer for anything. That's why our education is. How can we give everybody an A and a diploma without doing nothing? How can we do it? God's kingdom is not America. And it's nothing like America. And we have a hard time with it. It's a place you got to go after. You got to study to show yourself approved. You got to go after things and work hard. Today, even in the natural, people hate people that have worked hard in business to achieve what they want. And they think they ought to have what that person has. Government ought to take what they got and give it to me. Christians think like that. I heard a stupid missionary one time on TV complaining about America's wealth, saying they ought to take and give it all over to these people over there and they ought to do all of this and all. He's sitting there talking about they ought to give it all. He's sitting there with his mouth full of food and he's all dressed up. He's there. They ought to give everything. You know, sitting there talking on stuff. Well, there's a reason America had money and those people didn't. No, all he sees is somebody else's pocket. That's the answer to the world. See, the natural, looking at the natural. I've been to many countries. I've seen the prosperity measure down in Lima, Peru, back in 1979. They had 12,000% inflation. They were printing these bills that were about this long with ones and zeros on. I'm serious. You could take a wad of bills this big, you know, that thick, and you might be able to buy a couple rolls of toilet paper or something like that. I'm serious. Literally. They had inflation gone. And we went to this missionary who's down there. He had a Bible school and a few churches and stuff, but the one church in Lima there that he had, we went there. The church, it was down in a poorer section of town, but we went inside this building and it was it had been a theater and they had bought it, turned it into a church. And we went inside of it and his people come in there and they're all looking good. And I said, are these people from your side of town? He said, yeah, these are the people that lived here. He said, we've taught them how to prosper and these people are looking good. These people are coming in here. They're not like the rest of the community. They weren't waiting for checks from America. They weren't waiting. See, I've had to deal with missionaries already, you know. Send us money. And I come down and say, what are you doing here? Send you money. You know, I was down to Mexico and they wanted us to come down. Give them money to buy a brick block machine to make the blocks, get the stuff to make the blocks with and everything else. Come down there. You guys ought to send some people down here and make blocks so they can build. I said, man, if they ain't interested in making blocks, don't call me. I said, we give them this now. You want us to come down and do it for us? I said, if a church don't mean that much to them, it don't mean nothing to me. Well, you know, it's hard for them. I said, yeah, us scoundrels up here in the United States. We don't work at all. We don't do it. I said, our people give money and come out and haul that their wealth give to you, and you're down here telling them they're going to be blessed with us giving everything. See, I taught down there in Bible school, and I'd teach them this. This is what I'd teach them. I'm always going to be more wealthy than you. Because I give. When I come down here, it's my bucks brought me here, not yours. You didn't spend a nickel. You think you're going to get everything from me that I know and understand because I come down here? If you ain't willing to invest in it, you ain't getting it. That's a principle of God. You ain't sowing. You ain't reaping. It's that simple. And I tell them, as long as you look across the border, Mexico stays poor. Mexico never, they can't make it. America's our money. That's why a lot of nations can't make it. They look to somebody else, another nation. You become my money. I found out the culture of a nation is why each nation will either go under or go under. American culture is changed to go under. And everybody wants to come here from another country and keep their culture. You're bringing poverty to this nation. You bring the spirit of poverty here and put it in this nation to want to live like that. People need to understand these things. See, we Americans, we got caught in all this stuff. Think we're just being so nice. Oh, we're just so nice. We carry destruction. We just carry destruction. The love of men rather than the love of God. The Bible says this. God established the boundaries of the nations. And man defies them all the time. And these people, they all, well, you know, they're hurting. So you can defy the what God set up because you're hurting? This is good preaching, folks. You understand? You can't change things. These are the cores of what's going on in our nation. And we're praying about everything else. People don't care about God. And these people coming across, they don't care about God. They aren't interested in God. They're only interested in what they can get. Everybody's living in the flesh. We're on this side living in the flesh. They're over there living in the flesh. We get together. Two messes really makes a great thing. And then we got the two messes, the Democrats and Republicans. Down in Washington, there's two more messes. We throw that in the pot. Good luck. That's why we need to believe God. We need to believe God. You know, God set boundaries. We better learn to obey the boundaries of God. We don't anymore. You know, God has done things, and we're just sort of throwing Him under the bus of what we want, what we like, the things that we desire. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. Went a long time, but hallelujah. Things got to be said. People need to hear some of these things because especially this things with our nation and what's going on out here. There's too much disobedience to God and men are determining what's good and what's evil based on our cultures and not based on what God said. It's based on what people think. And now we got, you know, our judges, they're making decisions based on what people think. We don't care about the laws of the nation anymore. I mean, our Constitution, you know, and both parties. I mean, I'm just amazed both parties. Hey, I always love the Republicans, you know, throw, well, they're not doing the Constitution. Well, they don't either. We didn't get where we were at because there's only one side that's bad. And see, as a church, it's number one, my number one Constitution. I don't care. My government gives me the right to say what I want. At least this time they do. They're trying to take that. But you need to understand this. The Bible don't give me the right to say anything I want. And I must obey the Bible. I wish Christians would get a hold of that. My constitution is the Bible. It's the Word of God. That's my constitution. That's what I live. I'm in this kingdom. I'm in the kingdom of God. It comes first. I must obey the constitution of the Bible. The Bible decides right or wrong. I don't. My government will let me be any pervert I want to be. God don't. God doesn't allow it. And in the church, we've let it in up to our ears. Today, in spirit-filled churches, fornicators can run around free. They can, everybody, you know, God loves everybody and they can be part of it. I mean, and things and stuff going on. These big ministries on TV, they got their, you know, bands and stuff and things and homosexuals and things in them. And they're, because see, we're loving everybody. We're being good. I was told that, you know, well, you know, you can let them in. We're going to do this to reach them. We're going to let them in our ministry to reach them. God won't let them in the kingdom, but they're going and the church wonders why. Why does this stuff happen? Why does this go on? What's the matter? You got to get the devils out of the church. You can't get them out of the church. You ain't getting them out of the nation. There's devils need to be out of the pulpit. See, when you leave the love of God and you follow the love of men, things get so perverted. So perverted. And you can't see clear after a while. Judgments are made based on, because you know, God seems like a hard guy to the love that we show today. God seemed like a hard guy. Wait till the church leaves and these folks get to meet the Antichrist. He'll let you do anything you want. Unless he don't like it, he'll kill you. Wait till they see that. Wait till they have to live under what's going to take place at that time. It's going to be a whole different system. People don't understand.
There's nothing in this time period that compares to that. And let me tell you what. After the final judgment and the white throne judgment, there's nothing compares to what's going to happen then to what has happened before. People would rather go through the Antichrist reign than face the lake of fire. That's why we preach the gospel. The only thing that's going to work in this world is the truth. A false love, a false gospel is not going to work. It's not going to cause a move of God. God moves by His Word. That's how He moves. So I must always come in closer to line of Word of God. If we want God to move, we need to come in closer to in line with the Word of God. That's where we walk closer to that. God will always lead you in that. God will always lead you to come closer into line to His Word. Father, I want to say thank You this morning.
Yes, thank You.
Lord, because truly You do love us and You love man. I mean, You proved it in what You did. Lord, if You were interested in man's destruction, all You had to do was never send Jesus. And man was done, but that's not what You loved mankind and You looked down into this earth. And Lord, we were precious in Your sight. Much more precious sometimes than we even consider ourselves. Oh, but God so loved the world. God so loved. And thank You, Lord. Lord, I am so thankful that there's people who walked before me who said the truth. I'm so thankful that there was people who didn't come and give me the gospel that I wanted, but the gospel I needed. And Lord, because of that, I came to the knowledge of the truth. And Lord God, I am so thankful to be a child of God. I'm so thankful to be saved. I'm so thankful that I can stand here today knowing that my future's secure. So thankful of that, Lord God. Lord, in all these days and times and all that can happen, Lord God, my heart is still full of joy concerning my salvation. Oh, Lord God. Oh, my. To know no matter what happens, hallelujah, I'm securely in Your hands. And I just want to thank You for that today. Lord God, I want that. I want every believer to have that revelation. And Lord God, it is so real inside of them of who they belong to. Lord God, their security, hallelujah. Lord, that they can walk in truth, no matter what anybody else says. Because the truth is what makes men free. The truth brings true freedom, hallelujah. And Father, I want to thank You. That's our golden destiny. And Father, we do want to set ourselves in a position to be used in this day and time. Because, Lord, if anything people need in this world, they need to see Jesus. Lord God, the way is going. And Lord, I truly believe this with all my heart. There's many people out here that are in a search for something. They might not seem as if they're searching the right direction right now. But Lord God, they're searching. They're looking. Lord, they're trying. People are trying different things. They try different religions. They try different philosophies, different groups. Lord, it's because they're looking for something. They're trying to find something. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we got the best something that there is. Hallelujah. And Lord, I think many are going to be so glad to hear it. They're going to be so glad to know what we have to offer. Lord, because it's not a philosophy. It's a life. It works. Hallelujah. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. So we thank You. Thank You, Lord. Lord, we want to take our place. Lord, we want to allow You to manifest the gifts through us. We want to allow You, Lord God, to manifest Yourself to bless the church and to bless others. Those on the outside, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to see the demonstration and manifestations of the Spirit. Hallelujah. As You have planned in Your Word and You've set forth. Lord, You didn't stop this stuff from working. The church did. The church moved away from truth. And I want to thank You, Lord. I thank You for every person who loves truth, because still in the church, You have a remnant of people who still love Jesus and love the truth. There's still a people, and they haven't changed. They've been standing, and Lord God, Lord, if it wouldn't be for the ones who are just standing, the ones who have refused to go along with all the other junk, they refuse. They have just stood fast in Your Word. Lord God, the mess this nation would be incredible. Lord God, the reason we haven't gone under is because there's a faithful
group in this nation who have stood in your face and have upheld your glory, Lord God. Hallelujah. And judgment has been stayed that should have fallen on this nation that has not. And shortly, if men don't make a turn, oh Lord God, I know there's things coming. There's things coming on the horizon. But Lord God, we stand right now, Lord God. Lord, we're not praying for destruction. Hallelujah. We're praying for redemption. Hallelujah. Lord God, we want a move of God that turns the hearts of men. That's our great. We want people calling on the name of Jesus. Just as we called and that name changed us. Oh, hallelujah. I want to thank you. Father, we're going to keep our eyes on you. We're going to keep focused straight ahead. Lord, all of us are in different places of needing to learn and understand and comprehend. But Lord God, the reason we're here in this place is because we want to learn. You know our hearts. We want to know the truth. We want to. Our desire is to follow after you, Lord God. Lord, we've set our ears to hear. And so, Lord God, we'll not be neglected by your Spirit. He will reveal to us. He will show us. We'll grow more and more. We're going to grow spiritually day by day. Hallelujah. Day by day, we're growing, Lord God. Hallelujah. We're becoming more mature, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. More mature in our thinking, in our understanding. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're letting the childishness of the past behind. And Lord God, you're taking us to a place by your grace. It's not by our great will or our willpower. Lord, we set our will to follow you, but we need your grace to hold our will in pace. We need your grace and your might, Lord God, holding us steadfast. Hallelujah. Because sometimes, Lord, our will wavers. But hallelujah, your grace doesn't. And your grace will uphold us, Lord God. And I want to thank you. It'll hold us steadfast. We will not be moved from the glory that's been revealed to us. Hallelujah. We're going to stand in it. Hallelujah. And when Jesus comes back, woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to have what the Scripture says. We're going to get our full redemption. Hallelujah. We're staying with Jesus till it's over. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Till we look face to face, as Paul said. We're looking face to face. Oh, that wonderful day. Hallelujah. Will come. The fulfillment of the redemption. The body of Christ together with the Lord forever. Reigning and ruling with Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. What a future you have for us. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.